are you the best of protectors, so protect me. Oh Allah, you the best of protectors, so protect me.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers, welcome to another episode of our program Blessed Names of Allah Azza wa Jal Asma'ul Husna. And as you know, we've already had the honor of listening to the explanation of the beautiful name of our Creator, Allah. And in the previous episode, we heard more about Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, these two blessed names of Allah Jalla wa'ala. So we've heard about the Dhati name, Allah, and we've heard about two attributive names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. In this episode, inshallah, we will be discussing two further names, Al-Malik and Al-Quddus. And we'll be trying to understand them in light of Quran and Hadith and what the ulama have said in regards to them. Now, the first name, Al-Malik. Al-Malik is a term that's normally used to refer to a king, Al-Malik. And in the Quran, these letters, Mim, Lam, Kaf, have been used in three different ways. So you will find the word Malik, you will find Malik, and you will find Malik. Let's begin with Malik. Malik means a king. And Malik, the meaning of Malik is to be an owner. Malik. But remember one thing, when Malik is used for Allah Azza wa Jal, what is the meaning? Then it means that being, that who is independent from the entire creation. And everything depends upon him. I.e. such a king who is the king of all kings. And this has been indicated in a hadith as well. Now Malik means the one who has ownership over a thing or things. And he can do whatever he likes with them. He can utilize them in any manner that he wills, in any manner that he desires. So, if you have a mobile phone, for example, you're a Malik, you can do what you like with that phone. You can sell it, you can keep it, you have complete ownership over it. Or in the previous eras, if we read the books of fiqh, people possessed slaves and they were owners of those slaves. So, they had full authority to do as they wish regarding those slaves. Now the question is, these two words, Malik and Malik, which of these words consists of more glorification? Which of these has a meaning which signifies a greater level of glorification? And the scholars answer and they say the word Malik has more glorification in it in comparison to Malik. And this is because there is a main difference between Malik and Malik. And that difference is that if somebody is a Malik, he is a king, then it's not necessary that he can use every single thing within his kingdom as he wishes. Meaning, you have a king and he has citizens, subjects beneath him. He cannot use any items of the citizens the way he wishes, without prior permission. You can't enter somebody's garden without gaining ijaza. So with Malik, yes, he's a king, but the meaning is limited in comparison to Malik. Now with Malik, when a person says Malik, this means complete ownership. Someone has a house. So if someone has a house or a car, he can use them any way he likes. And there is no restriction whatsoever. So this is a key difference between Malik and Malik. So when we use the word Malik for Allah, there is more glorification, more madh, more praise found in this meaning in comparison to Malik. So in conclusion, when we use the word Malik for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what does this mean? That he can carry out any action that he likes within his creation, and there is none to stop him. So in the Quran, we're told that لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, showing the complete sovereignty of Allah Azza wa Jal, that everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. It's in the ownership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a king, and he is such a king that can do anything that he likes with his creation. Now, an interesting fact that Malik has been used 11 times in the Holy Quran. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this worldly life can grant kingship to whomsoever he likes. Even till today, kings exist. There are people who are kings of certain countries, certain places. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still grants kingship today. But on the day of judgment, when the day of judgment is established, then no king will remain illallah, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the real king, who is the actual king. He is the king of all kings. So any king in this world, his kingship is bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah is the original king. And on the day of judgment, this will be manifest. Because on that day, no one will have kingship. Everything will perish. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will state, as is mentioned in the Quran, that لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ, who does the kingdom belong to today? There will be no reply, of course. And Allah Jalla wa Ala himself will say, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ, kingship today is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will see thereafter, on the day of judgment, when people are resurrected, disbelievers who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world, rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the king of all kings, on that day they will have no choice but to admit and to accept that Allah azza wa jal is the king of all kings. So it becomes clear that in the world, yes, people can be kings, and Allah grants kingship to whomsoever he wants. This is mentioned in the Quran, Surah Ali Imran, Para 3, verse 26, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ, that say, O beloved, Allah is the owner of the kingdom. تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ, he grants kingship to whomsoever he wants. So even if someone does not accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the king whilst living in this world, and he rejects Allah Jalla wa Ala being the king, then on the day of judgment, he will have no place to escape. He will see the kingship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will see that everybody else there being a king was temporary. It was bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's taking it back. But the true king, the king of all kings, is Allah Jalla wa Ala. So in Surah Fatiha, in the first few verses, we have Maliki Yawmiddin, owner of the day of judgment. And he is the king of the last day. And this was specifically mentioned because on that day, there will be no one who will reject his kingship. They can't reject it because it will be evident and clear and manifest. Now we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show the excellence, the virtues of his Anbiya alayhi salam, including the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Prophet, the final Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but real kingship will only belong to Allah azza wa jal. Now the third usage is Malik. We've called Malik and Malik, Malik. Now, Malik is ism mubalagha. It has an intensified meaning, an exaggerated meaning found within it. And it signifies a stronger level of ownership. So in the Quran, for example, in Surah Qamar, it says, فِي مَقَعَدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. Now, what is the purpose behind using these words in the Quran, Malik, Malik? The ulama state that one is to announce his kingship as befits his blessed dhat. And the second is so that people gain a lesson that they should only entrust all their affairs and matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should have kamil, perfect tawakkul, reliance upon him, azza wa jal, because he is a king. He is the only king. Everyone else, their kingship is temporary. And Allah is the one who bestows it, like we've heard. But the real king is Allah jalla wa ala. Shaqiq Balkhi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, a famous saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from previous times, he mentions that the reason for my repentance, reason for me rectifying myself, was that on one occasion I was going somewhere with my belongings. I passed by an area which was struck by a drought. There was a drought taking place there. And people obviously were very distressed. And just then a slave passed by who was walking in a carefree manner. He didn't have no tension at all. So I asked him, everybody else is tense, everybody else is worried, and you are the opposite. You're carefree, you don't have no tension. What's the reason behind this? He says, the reason why I have no tension is that I am a slave of such an individual who has a whole stock of grain, meaning he's got a lot of grain, and you could say the village is full of his stock of grain. And my master, I am his slave, my master will feed me and I won't suffer any hardship. Any need of mine will be fulfilled by my master. So why do I need to worry? Shaqiq Balkhi rahmatullahi alayhi says, this had a massive, profound effect on me. That look at the slave, he has so much trust upon his master, who is another human being. But I am a slave of that master, Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the king of all kings. He is all powerful. He owns all the treasures of the world and the hereafter. So why should I not have trust in him, tawakkul upon him? And he says, this was the reason for my repentance. This incident led to my repentance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know thereafter he ascended to great heights. Now, just as the foundational lesson we gain from these words, Malik and Malik, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Malik and Malik. Now, just as it is understood from these terms, Malik and Malik, when used for Allah, that this is to signify His glory, His majesty, is also understood, or we also learn, that the reason why Allah is referred to as Malik and Malik is so that we have complete trust upon Him. And you just heard an incident of Shaqiq Balkhi rahmatullahi alayhi. And Allah Jalla wa Ala Himself in the Quran says, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no quadruped, there is no animal, no creature on earth except that the risk, the sustenance of that creature is upon the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning through His generosity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken this responsibility of feeding all of His creation, providing sustenance to all of His creation. And He does so. And there's no differentiation between whether a person is a believer or a transgressor, a disbeliever. All are given sustenance by Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal is such a Malik that He owns all the treasures in the heavens and the earth. And this is mentioned in the Quran in Surah Al-Munafiqun that وَلِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. For Allah are the treasures of the heavens and the earth. So that was a brief discussion about the names Malik and Malik. Moving on, Al-Quddus. This is another name that we're going to discuss. And this word Al-Quddus is derived from Quds. And from this comes the word Taqdis. The foundational meaning of this is to be pure and to purify as well. And when used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from every single thing. Every defect as well, which is included in this meaning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any thought or pure from any thought that enters a human's mind. So we are not to reflect upon the dhat of Allah Azza wa Jal. Instead, we reflect upon the creation to gain His ma'rifah. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned, is free from all defects. And nothing is like Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not possess a body. He is unlike anything in creation. There's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this name, Al-Quddus, Allah Jalla wa Ala mentions it twice in the Quran. First, at the end of Surah Hashr, and the second time is at the beginning of Surah Jumu'ah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in various parts of the Quran, has mentioned His sanctity, Taqdis. So for example, when Allah Azza wa Jal will to create Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and he addressed his angels and said, I'm going to create a Khalifa on the earth, a vicegerent. What did the angels reply? What was their response? وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. That we glorify you, and we mention your purity. وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. And many words have been derived from Quds and used in various places. For example, in Palestine, Al-Quds, that area is called Baytul Maqdis. So Maqdis has that meaning, house of sanctity, purity. And the reason for this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that place pure. And He also made it blessed. And He mentioned this in the Quran as well. When He commanded the Bani Israel, أُدْخُلُ الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَةِ. Enter the sacred land. And this is mentioned in Surah Ma'idah. Now today, when we say Baytul Maqdis, we normally refer to just Palestine. But in the era of the Prophet ﷺ, Baytul Maqdis actually referred to many countries. So Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Palestine, and some areas of Egypt and Turkey as well, these were referred to as Al-Quds. So all of these lands are considered Al-Quds, they are pure. Now moving on, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this famous verse, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He placed blessings around the area of Masjid al-Aqsa. And one reason for this is worldly beauty and the atmosphere, various fruits. So Quds and Taqdis means to be pure, holy, sanctified. And the word Quddus also comes from here, which is ism mubalagha, exaggerated noun, intensified meaning found in the noun. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from every defect. No defect can come close to the Creator, Allah Azza wa Jal. And the second meaning of Taqdis is to make pure. There's a hadith mentioned in Sunan Nasai, when Sayyiduna Sulaiman ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam finished constructing Masjid al-Aqsa, he asked Allah Azza wa Jal for three things. He prayed for three things. To grant wisdom, so that he can make a decision which is in accordance to Allah's decision and not in opposition to it. The second thing, to grant such a kingdom which no one will receive after him. And if you look at it from a worldly aspect, no one received a worldly kingdom like him. His kingdom was the greatest. He had authority over jinn, kind, insan, animals. He could communicate in the language of animals. He could understand their speech as well. And thirdly, that whoever enters Baytul Muqaddas and prays there, prays in that blessed land, then Ya Allah cleanse him from sins like on the day his mother gave birth to him. So when he leaves Masjid al-Aqsa after praying there, Ya Allah may he leave in a state that he is pure from sins, just like the day his mother bore him. So this is one reason the ulama give for Baytul Maqdis being referred to as Baytul Maqdis. It purifies a person from sins. The second meaning, when we say Allah's name is Quddus, is to purify. Now in a hadith, a Bedouin once came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was such a Bedouin who the Prophet ﷺ had taken a debt from. And this Bedouin, he tried to take that debt back and he used a harsh tone. And the companions who were present, this enraged them. Look at this person, how is he speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And they even said this to him, look how you're speaking, do you know who you're speaking to? And he replied, Inni atlubu haqqi, I am seeking my right. And this further enraged the companions, made them angry. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was generous. He sent a message to Sayyidatuna Hawla bint Qais radiyallahu anha to give him a debt, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to loan him some money. And with this money he would repay the Bedouin. And the Bedouin was not only given the original amount, but extra money on top as well. And thereafter the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't purify a nation who doesn't fulfill the right of its weak people. So, what is essentially meant here is that a nation which has weak people in there, they have rights that need to be fulfilled, and those rights are not fulfilled, then Allah Jalla wa'ala does not cleanse those people, that nation. It's very important that if we have weak people amongst us whose voices are not heard, and their rights are suppressed, we should try and fulfill their rights. So, the two meanings of Quddus, one is to be pure oneself, so pure, and the second one is to make something pure. And Alhamdulillah, in this episode, we've discussed these two names, Malik, and the different variations. Malik is also used, and Malik in the Quran. And the second name we discussed was Quddus, a beautiful name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Inshallah, that concludes the episode. In the next episode, we'll bring more beautiful blessed names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until then, may Allah jalla wa ala protect and preserve all of you. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Oh Allah, you're the best of protectors, so protect me. Oh Allah, you're the best of protectors, so protect me.